Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Keith Mayer and Wally Mead are back for today's show, and in this episode, they discuss some of the new support features found in System Center 2012 Configuration Manager SP1 for Windows 8 and Windows Server 2012. Tune in as they chat about deploying and managing Windows 8 apps and Windows To Go USB devices, as well as how to install site system roles on Windows Server 2012 via Configuration Manager. Keith, the mic is yours.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of TechNet Radio. Today we're going to be talking about new features in System Center 2012 Configuration Manager Service Pack 1 for supporting both Windows 8 clients and Windows Server 2012 servers. And with me today to talk us through those new features, I've got Wally Mead, a Senior Program Manager from the System Center Client Configuration Management Program Team and all-around System Center Config Manager Guru. Hi, Wally. How are you this afternoon?
Doing great, Keith. Good to be back.
Great. Thanks again for joining us for yet another episode to walk us through the new changes in SP1 of Configuration Manager 2012. So Wally, I know there's been a lot of new changes in terms of managing Windows 8 applications and settings and whatnot. And one of the real burning areas that a lot of IT pros are interested in is how Service Pack 1 can help them now manage Windows 8 style applications, either from the Windows Store or from enterprise applications that are being deployed as standalone AppX packages. Could you help us understand how that works in Service Pack 1 and maybe step us through the basics of that process?
Sure. Just as a high-level overview, I think we've said it in other presentations that we've had, but the primary goal of Service Pack 1 is to support Windows 8 and Windows Server 2012 as a client platform, so giving you all those capabilities, as well as now implementing features to take advantage of Windows 8 and Windows Server 2012. And that leads in the area you're talking about, which is Windows 8 application deployment. So as a high-level overview, the process of deploying software is exactly the same in Config Man 2012 SP1 as it was in the RTM release. So those of you that learned how to create applications and deploy them with Configuration Manager 2012, you know exactly how to do this in the Service Pack 1 release. What we've added in Service Pack 1 is now some new deployment types that will take advantage of these new applications that you're referring to, the Windows 8 apps and the Windows 8 apps in the Windows Store. So it's really just a matter of creating a new application, importing the .appx file, as you refer to the Windows 8 app, or to then import, point to a Windows 8 application that's installed on a computer that came from the Windows Store, so we can find the application information and then point the link to the Windows Store for it. So it's really a simple matter once you know how to create software and deploy it through Configuration Manager. So let me just go ahead and kick over to the console and I'll show you real quickly what that looks like.
Okay, great.
Alrighty, so here's my Configuration Manager 2012 beta console, and I'll just point out a couple things for you. So here's the, just to show you that this is the beta release. So any of you that have downloaded the beta version and have installed in your lab environments, you would have the same version here, build 7782. So this is the official beta. So now to deploy Windows 8 applications, I would go to the Software Library workspace. I would expand Application Management, and I'd click on Applications, and here I've got a couple applications in my environment, including one that's already a Windows 8 application, but I'll show you how to create one. So I'll go to Create Application, and now I get the application creation wizard, and you guys have seen this before from the RTM product, but now if we look here, we have some new deployment types, and I'll zoom in here so you get a better shot of this. But here's some of the new deployment types we have, and the specific ones of interest for our conversation today are these two here, Windows App Package, .appx file, and the Windows App Package in the Windows Store. You see various other different deployment types on here, some you're familiar with from the RTM product and others that are new for Service Pack 1 that we'll probably talk about in other presentations. But all I do is pick the appropriate deployment type, Windows App Package or Windows App Package in the Windows Store. I'll just talk about the Windows Store one. I'm in a virtual environment, so I don't have access to the Windows Store. But all I would do is pick that deployment type as far as a type of application. And then it asks me to browse to a computer with the Windows 8 application installed that would be available in the Windows Store. And when I browse to that computer, it doesn't have to be the computer I'm on the console with, it can be a remote computer, browse to the application and access it. It then finds all the identification information necessary to make that link available to the Windows Store. So it's a really simple process. For now, I'll just go ahead and create a new Windows app package. So I'll take that deployment type, Windows app package, and I'll browse to my source files, which is on my local computer, lab files, Windows 8 apps, and I'll just go down to this application, and here's that appx file. As you can see in the extension here, it's got the appx on it, so that's the appropriate extension. So I browse to that, click next, it imports information, gives me the import information successful screen, and then it lets me change my application information. So I might want to call this Windows 8 application. Even if it might be misspelled, that's all right. It's just user information. I give it whatever information I want as far as the coding and the identification information that would appear to the user. And bingo, it's all done. It's all done. My application's now been created. Now, just to show you, there's not a lot of configuration for a Windows 8 app. So if I just go to the application and now go to its properties, you'll see far fewer tabs available for an application and a deployment type for Windows 8 apps than you do for an MSI-based application, for example. So you have your basic administrator information. You'll have what appears in the application catalog when you're targeting that way. You'll have your references for how this app is used by any other applications, a normal distribution settings for how you access this application from a distribution point. Deployment type, there's a deployment type created automatically. But if I go look at it, there's fewer options available here. Primarily, you know, content, where is the content available, where is it coming from? Detection method is all built in. Remember, in a traditional application like MSI, you'd be filling in what your detection method is. But it's all built in out of the Windows 8 app. So we're just making it really, really simple for you. All I would really do here is go to my requirements tab, and I'd put in whatever my appropriate requirements are. Well, not only is it a Windows 8 application, so it requires a Windows 8 OS, but maybe I only want to put it on systems with X amount of memory or specific type of processor or whatever. So I build in those requirements that I want, and boy, I'm really done. I'm really done, so that's all I have to do. And then I would just go ahead and do a normal application deployment of that application. And bingo, it's off just like any other application. It would appear in the application catalog on the Windows 8 client. The user would select the application, and we'd evaluate requirements and make sure we're all set to go, and then it would install locally and appear on the desktop.
Wow, that is really easy. It's a lot simpler than deploying traditional applications because of the fewer properties. Yeah,
correct. Fewer properties that you have to go in there and set or possibly make a mistake on.
Right. And then how would that change if we were deploying from the Windows Store per se, if the application was already out in the Windows Store as a link?
Yeah, so I just show you real quickly. It's a very simple thing as well. Just go to the Windows Store, and now it just makes me, I'll zoom in so you can read this. It just says, point to a computer that has this application installed. So I'll click the Browse button. And again, I don't have one in the virtual environment, but what I can do here is I can point to a computer and then find the application that's installed in that computer that came from the Windows Store. We find all that identification information. It creates an application in Configuration Manager. I then deploy that. When the end user goes to the application catalog, they then find this application. They don't know it belongs in the, or it comes from the Windows Store. They click the application. They click Install. And all it does is we take them to the Windows Store. They then log in with their Windows Store credentials. They then do the installation from the Windows Store. So Gotcha. Really what we're doing with the Windows Store redirection, or the deep links as some people call it, is we're just preventing the end user from having to have two portals to go look at. Go look at the application catalog for Configuration Manager enterprise-based apps, and then go to the Windows Store for other apps. Now, you as an admin, you take those Windows Store apps that you want your users to have access to, you in essence, make an application out of them, deploy it through Config Manager, and your end user only goes to the Config Manager application catalog. And in behind the scenes, if it is a Windows Store app where they install from, we take them directly to that app, that application in the store, so they don't have to go searching two different portals. They search ours, and we take them where they need to be.
Yeah, and what I really like about this is from an IT pro perspective, we can simplify the experience for users so that they don't have to, even if it is a Windows Store app, they don't need to go into the Windows Store, search across the hundreds or thousands of apps that are there, find the particular app they're looking for. We can have the short list, so to speak, of enterprise apps that we're installing either from an AppX package or from the Windows Store and take the user right to wherever that application is when we deploy it. That's great.
Yep, absolutely.
Wow, thanks so much, Wally, for walking us through that demo on deploying Windows 8 applications. It's really straightforward and easy. I know one of the other areas that a lot of IT pros I talk to have been really interested in with Windows 8 Enterprise is in the new Windows to Go USB drive feature that Windows 8 Enterprise provides. Does System Center 2012 Config Manager Service Pack 1 provide any enterprise management capabilities for helping to manage or deploy Windows to Go configurations?
Absolutely. So a couple of different things that we do here is, one will allow you to provision your computer as a Windows to Go device. So we'll let you create your bootable OSD stick on your USB stick for your portable environment. So basically, you've got your laptop desktop on this portable USB stick that you can take to any other computer and boot him up, and hey, you got what basically looks like your desktop back in the office. So we let you do that provisioning, and then we also can let you manage that Windows to Go device just like it was any other client. So you can still distribute software to it, you can put the administrator console on it, you can do patching to it, whatever the scenario is, it's treated just like another configuration manager client on your laptop. So it's gives you full management capabilities as well as the deployment process.
Wow, so using Windows to Go, we could take a client, make a System Center management console client that was completely portable and bootable from any other device?
Yep.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's a pretty cool thing, and it's fairly simple to provision the environment. We have some special tools that we provide to you to allow you to create the package for deployment and provisioning of a Windows to Go environment, and then you just deploy that package and program to your end users, probably in our one-stop shop application catalog portal, and then they pick that application. Hey, I want to run that. It asks them to insert a specific USB stick that's supported for Windows to Go, and they stick that in, and we walk them through the provisioning process, and hopefully it's just a couple little clicks, and after a period of time, they've got this bootable stick to work through.
Oh, that's really cool. Could you walk us through some of the basics of setting up that Windows to Go Creator package?
Sure. Well, let's kick on over to my demo environment, and I'll show you what some of the basics are you need to go through. So here we are back in my Service Pack 1 beta administrator console, and I'm now on the operating system deployment node. So here you can see the normal things for operating system deployment that you're familiar with, again, from the RTM release. And as an overview, operating system deployment itself, just like application management, is pretty much the same between SP1 and the RTM release. We've enhanced a few things, such as the support for this Windows to Go environment. So first thing you would do is you would go down to task sequences and you do a create task sequence media. And the task sequence media you would create would be this one option down here called the pre-staged media. So what the pre-stage media allows you to do is to take your, in this case, a Windows 8 Enterprise, probably, operating system image file that you've already created, so you've captured your Windows 8 environment, and you create a pre-stage media file out of that. So what you can do with that, basically what a pre-stage media is in traditional sense is it's your OS image file that you're capturing for yourself, but you give it to your hardware OEM, so that manufacturer you get all of your computers from. And you give them this pre-stage media file so that they install that onto your hard drive for you of your system. So when you get the laptop from Dell or HP or IBM or whoever it is, whoever your OEM is, that image is installed for you through the manufacturer, so it shortens your deployment time.
So like so, an IT pro, this would be an image of my custom enterprise Windows 8 image that has all of the settings or tools or patches or whatnot that are important to my organization, all baked into that image that we're selecting, that we're going to select. Is that right?
Yep, yep. So you select your core OS image that you want through the pre-staged media. Once you've done that, what you then do in that pre-staged media is that you take not only that output file you have, that WIM file that gets created, but you also go to our installed files on your site server. You go to your installation directory, the OSD directory, and you go to our tools folder. In our tools folder, you'll see this folder that says WTG. WTG means Windows to Go.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Inside that folder, we have a couple different things available for you. One is an option for BitLocker. We do allow you to BitLocker your Windows to Go device in case it happens. Since it's a USB stick, it could be lost or it could walk away from your desk as you're not around.
Sure.
So we do allow you to use a PIN for BitLockering it. So we have a tool here that would let you, for both a 32-bit and 64-bit environment, to go ahead and run this BitLocker utility as part of this Windows to Go environment to do BitLockering. So it makes it a secure environment. But what we really want you to do is running this Creator utility. This Creator utility will then is a package. You create a package and program out of this Creator utility. And what you'll do is it'll create a classic, as we call it, package and program that runs the Creator utility. You specify the pre-staged media WIM file you created with the previous wizard I just showed you. And that's your package and program. So you made a program out of WTG Creator, which specifies a command line of slash pre-stage colon and your pre-staged media file. You then deploy that package and program to your users that you want to have this capability. So a collection of users, probably. You deploy that, make it available to them with some specific options in your task sequence that you create for this. And then when you deploy this package and program to your users, it'll go ahead and do the application catalog. They'll go ahead and select that. It'll pop up with a little UI for our WTG Creator. It'll ask you to insert a supported USB stick. You insert that, and it's dynamic, so if it's nothing there, wait a minute, I forgot to put it in. You go and insert it. We'll analyze to verify it's a supported stick, and big enough, it's got to be a minimum of 32 gigabytes in size. Then it will go ahead and basically ask you a couple questions like that, and you supply those answers, and bingo, it's just like you're running a Windows 8 application installation. This just happens to be taking that pre-stage media file with the WTG Creator and your task sequence, customizing it and writing the results out to your USB stick as opposed to writing it to your local hard drive like a normal OS deployment process would be. So again, a very, very simple process, all integrated through Configuration Manager with the pre-staged media, normal task sequences that you would create for OSD, and then this utility that you then package and deploy through Configuration Manager to your end user, just like any other piece of software.
Wow, that's a pretty powerful feature. So it allows me as an IT pro to take one of my customized Windows 8 Enterprise images, create this Creator package, potentially have the image that when it's delivered down to the USB, it has BitLocker pre-enabled if security and on-disk encryption is important to me. And then I imagine because we're deploying the package using a user-centric assignment inside System Center Config Manager SP1, that we could even set up a scenario where if we had a number of contractor or vendor users within an IT pro's organization, they could have a kind of a provisioning workstation that each person logs into and can use to provision their own Windows to Go USB stick as a contractor or vendor of the organization with that organization's customized Windows 8 image so that they're boot up with that image and off the USB stick, and they're automatically able to access the corporate resources that they're assigned to. Did I have that right? Is that a reasonable scenario with the Windows to Go Creator now?
Yep, and good thing you did mention that. One of the processes in here as you're creating this Windows to Go environment, it does require that you're on your corporate network, because it does go out there and utilize the task sequence and other applications and packages that it refers to and it requires. So you do have to be on the corporate network to do this, to create this to provision your Windows to-go environment. So, but yes, I'm doing that contractor scenario and utilizing your custom boot image and all this image that you have is fantastic.
Thanks so much, Wally. That Windows to-go feature is really a great feature that I'm sure IT pros are going to love. Now, one of the other features that I've heard about in Windows 8 Enterprise is the support for metered internet connections and the always-on, always-connected type of feature for supporting better supporting users that are mobile with Windows 8. Does System Center Config Manager 2012 SP1 have any support for taking advantage of metered internet connections? Or the always-on, always-connected support in Windows 8?
Absolutely, and both great. Those areas. So first, if we talk about always-on, always-connected, we've done some things in the Service Pack 1 release to make our Configuration Manager client what we call a better corporate citizen. So what we're doing is we're trying to make the client so it will be able to detect whether or not your computer is on AC, which means, hey, go do all the normal stuff, or you're on battery, which means you may want to prevent Configuration Manager from doing things so that we're not the one draining the battery and causing the laptop, in this case, to die because battery's out, because Configuration Manager was installing some software or doing a hardware inventory or whatever. So we'll detect battery state, power state of the computer. We'll detect whether or not the user's actively using the computer or not. And we'll go ahead and use idle times of the computer so that we're not impacting that end user. So they don't know that Configurations Manager there because we're doing our stuff when they're not actively utilizing the computer.
Oh, wow.
We can detect whether you're on the network or not. So there's no sense in us trying to do policy polling intervals or reporting of inventory or trying to find a distribution point to pull content from when you're not on the network, because those type of things can obviously use resources, which then could drain batteries and cause contention on the computer. So we're just trying to be a better citizen so that Configuration Manager is not an impact or an impediment to the end user doing their work. So all these things kind of fit in that always on, always connected scenario. Idle time, power states, network activity. We also adhere to the Windows 8 specific maintenance hour. So this is a new feature in Windows 8 where kind of like we have automatic updates in every computer at 2 a.m. or whatever time it is, it wakes up and goes to automatic updates and tries to see if there's any patches available and downloads and installs them. So Windows 8 implements this new concept called the Windows Maintenance Hour, which is kind of the same scenario where applications can get registered as Windows 8 services and register for that maintenance hour. So Configuration Manager client is one of those. We wrote to that maintenance hour. So we'll take our normally scheduled activities, we'll suspend them, put them in a suspended state until we get to that Windows maintenance hour, and then we'll kick in and do our scanning and our inventories and so on, again, to try and alleviate the impact on end users when they're trying to use their computer. So all those things are kind of built into the Configuration Manager client now to make it a better corporate citizen. So along with that, we have now done some enhancements on our client agent. And in our testing, we found that it's taking about one-third less memory in Service Pack 1 than it did in the RTM release of the product. And
wow,
consuming
that's
huge. Less CPU cycles as well. So again,
wow.
Trying to reduce the impact on that computer.
Yeah, definitely. That's huge. That's huge.
Yeah.
And then how about the metered internet connection support? How does System Center Config Manager SP1 expose or leverage the metered internet connection support?
Okay, yeah, I can talk about that for a second. I can hop in the console and show you a couple things there.
But okay.
First off, this is a Windows 8 feature only because it's a Windows 8 operating system that has the concept of metered internet connections.
Sure.
But what you would do as a user is you would go to your network connections, you'd find your 3G or 4G connection, whatever it is, one of those connections that there's a limit on the amount of traffic you can have over that connection. And if you go over that limit, then you get charged extra money, kind of like your cell phone is if you have a data plan for your cell phone. After so many gigabytes that you download, hey, you get hit with this, what we call bill shock at the end of the month. So what you do is you designate that connection on your laptop as a metered connection. And it's a very simple to right-click action to set that. Once you do that on the OS, then in Configuration Manager, you're allowed to designate how does Configuration Manager utilize, if at all, that any metered internet connection. And you can designate that we want to block it, which means Configuration Manager never does any traffic over that metered connection. That's fine. We have the opposite extreme, which is allow. Allow you to go ahead and utilize that metered internet connection and download software, upload inventory, pull your policies, do all your stuff that you want to do. So that's kind of the opposite of the blocking. Basically lets you do anything you want to. Then we wanted to kind of provide a balancing factor in there, so we have a setting called limited. Limited is where by default, some things may happen, some things may not happen, just depends on how much of your bandwidth you still have available. So how much of your download or your data plan do you have available for us to utilize? In a limited connection scenario, we would not download software automatically unless the end user in the application catalog said, yes, go ahead and install this software. Well, then they're implementing, they're initiating that activity, so we'll let them go ahead and go over their minutes if they want to.
Sure.
But in a required software scenario, we wouldn't go pre-downloading content until you reach the deadline. So when you reach that application deployment deadline or software update deployment deadline, you could go ahead and we would go ahead and download that content, provided that you configured the deployment to support that. So we give you some capabilities there to control how we interact with those metered network connections.
I see. And then, so with the metered network connection, once a data transfer limit is reached, does Config Manager SP1 have the ability to leverage or do actions differently when it's a reached data transfer limit versus a data transfer limit that hasn't been reached yet?
Yeah, so once you get to your point where you've hit your limit, then we know to suspend our activities.
I see.
And to not, again, provide that bill shock scenario to you.
Wow. Well, could you spend a few minutes and step us through how that is configured in the Config Manager console?
Absolutely.
Great.
Okay, so I'll show you a couple of things, Keith, about the metered internet connection scenario. So this is a Windows 8 environment that I have. It's a VM, so it's going to be a little bit limited for you, but I'll just show you quickly how you would set up the metered internet connection. So go to Control Panel, Network and Sharing, Connect to a Network, and then you see off to the right the connections that you have available. I am on a wired environment, being my VLAN for my virtual environment, but if you had a wireless connection or, one of those metered connections, 3G, 4G type connections, what you would do is you'd go over to your connection and you just do a right click on that connection. It doesn't work on LAN. We never let you set an Ethernet type connection as a meter connection. But on a wireless or one of those broadband type carriers, you would right click on it and there'd be a menu option pop up. You'd take the top option, which is set as metered connection. So that's how the end user sets it. Hey, this is a metered connection for me on my client. Now what I want to do is go over to my site server. Okay, so once I've enabled that on the client end of things, then what I would do in the administrative console is I want to control who can access these metered internet connections for Configuration Manager use. So I'll create a custom a client device setting, and I'll call this metered connections. And then you have the option here for metered internet connection. So I take that option, and I'll just zoom in there for a second so you can see it. Take that setting for metered internet connections, and then I'll go up and I'll click that option on the navigation pane when it creates, pops in, and now what I get to do is I get to specify how we want any clients targeted with this setting to utilize metered internet connections. And yet, options you have here are block, allow, and limit. So those are the ones we kind of talked about. So obviously block is what the default is. So by default, nobody's allowed to use Configuration Manager through an internet metered internet connection. But so I want to allow Keith to go ahead and do some limited access there. So I would go ahead and set this option to limit. So I create that connection as I want it. I then go ahead and take this and I deploy this to a collection of clients. So I would now deploy this special client agent setting to my all mobile devices or whatever my collection is. So it's been deployed out there. So now I get a control or which of my clients is able to utilize this metered internet connection and so on. Because maybe it's a corporate connection I have and I do want some people to go ahead and utilize that broadband type connection to access corporate resources and download software and patches, but not the masses. So I get to control that on a collection by collection basis.
Gotcha, gotcha. And then once that that setting is in place with a limit, is there a way of being able to then, at an application, on an application by application basis, be able to specify how that limit works across the metered internet connection?
Absolutely. So this is the setting the background portion of it. Now it's the control through the deployment. So let's go back to that application we created. So I'll go back to software library. And here's that Windows 8 application we created. Let's go ahead and do a deployment of it. So we'll go ahead and choose the deploy option here. And we'll just step through this wizard real quick. We'll target this to, since I don't have any user discovery here, I'll just go to my all desktops and server clients collection. And I'll put this content on my distribution point. Only have to do that one time. And now on the next screen, I specify I want to install the application as opposed to uninstall it. And notice the default is available. It's available in the application catalog, which means end users can go ahead and pull it if they want to or they don't have to. Or in this case, since I'm targeting the computers, it'd be in Software Center. But now to utilize this feature, because again, optional software, available software, the end user can always incur those charges if they want to.
Sure.
What we do, however, is in the application catalog, we'll actually pop up a notification to the user saying, oh, by the way, you're on a metered connection. This could incur additional charges for you. So we'll kind of give them a warning, hey, wait a minute, let me think about this. Do I want to do this right now or not?
Yep.
But for required stuff, so I change this to a required application, a deployment, now we have this new checkbox here. Allow the client to use the metered internet connection to download after the deadline's been reached. So okay. On a per deployment basis, whether it's software updates, whether it's applications, packages, whatever it is, you get to specify whether or not this content is allowed to go through over a metered internet connection for downloading the software and then doing the installation post-download. So we give you the controls on the end user. They get to designate the connection as metered or not. Then as the administrator, we let you go ahead and designate which clients or which users can go ahead and utilize metered internet connections. And then on the actual deployment of the software, whether or not they're allowed to, yeah, go ahead and download even though you're on a metered internet connection.
Definitely a great set of new features for being able to address the growing mobile populations of workers that exist in most enterprise organizations. That's wonderful.
Yep. It's very cool. People are very excited about it. Now, this, obviously, again, the metered internet connection scenario is a Windows 8 feature, so you need to be on Windows 8, Windows Server 2012 clients. But for those customers that are waiting for those OSs and going to be deploying them, you have this new capability to take advantage of.
Well, great. Thanks, Wally, for showing us step-by-step through the metered internet connection and enhancements that offers for mobile users. The last area that we wanted to talk about was Server 2012. Server 2012, since its release in early September, has generated a huge buzz with IT pros. A lot of IT pros are looking to make their next server operating system choice, Server 2012, as they deploy new servers. With the release of Service Pack 1 for Config Manager, is Server 2012 going to be able to be used as a site for the various site system roles?
Absolutely. So every single role that I'm aware of in Configuration Manager, whether it's your site server, your database server, management points, distribution points, software update points, etc., all those various site system roles are allowed to be run on top of a Windows Server 2012 environment now. So not only do we support that new server OS as a client with full features, but also as a site system with full features.
Oh, great. So that's across the board. All of the site system roles will be supported on Server 2012. That's wonderful. And when IT pros are deploying those site system roles on Server 2012, are there any special considerations or prerequisites or patches or updates that they need to be concerned about for deploying?
There actually is going to be a new update for WSUS to support Windows Server 2012, and there are a couple of hot fixes already available to support deployment of patches to Windows Server 2012 as well as Windows 8 clients for your existing infrastructure. But outside that, if you follow the supported configurations document up on TechNet, which has already been updated for Service Pack 1, it walks you through for each of the individual site system roles what all the requirements are that have to be met to enable that role on the appropriate OS. And the big one that would probably catch most people that's not there by default in a Windows Server 2012 environment would be .NET 3.51, because Windows Server 2012 comes with the later version of .NET, but still some of our roles are looking for specific features in .NET 3.51. So you may have to go in there and do a manual install through the roles and features server manager wizard to install .NET 3.51 to get some of those roles supported. But outside of that, just follow the supported configs doc, and it's pretty detailed in what configuration options you need for all those specific roles.
Oh, awesome. That's great news. I'm going to be really excited to go through those documents and begin deploying my lab environment with SP1 on Server 2012. That's wonderful. Well, thanks, Wally, so much for helping us walk through these new changes in Config Manager 2012 SP1 for supporting Windows 8 clients and Server 2012 servers. I know it's always a joy when we have you for TechNet Radio. And I'd like to thank all of you as well for attending today's TechNet Radio broadcast, and look forward to our upcoming broadcasts with Wally, where we talk about new additional features that are going to be coming out with Service Pack 1 and Config Manager 2012. Thanks so much, Wally.
You're more than welcome, Keith. Always a pleasure.